You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, we've got to produce this thing, the production. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 15. You're going to love this for several reasons, because it's so good and because it's going to be so short. I hope because it's so good. Oh, this is good stuff. You know, I think a lot about what God's blessed me with, and personally, I think we ought to do that. We ought to stop and reflect on who we are and how God's saved us, and you know, how God's healed us, and how God's prospered us, and how God has given us gifts, whatever they may be, whether we can sing or play an instrument or just counsel or talk with people, or you know, whether we got a good mind or not. Whatever we have, God gave it to us. So there's no comparing ourselves to anybody, because we're all gifted differently. I mean, that's just the way it is. Position that you're in, God put you there. God gave you that position. The gifts you have, God gave you those gifts. Are you feeling good today? Well, that's for a reason. God prospered you? Well, He prospers us for a purpose. And so when we think about that, I don't think we always reflect on why we have what we have, why we're gifted as we are. And really, we are gifted as we are to help others. That's what we're gifted to do. And that's why God blesses us. In fact, Jesus, when He talked about the anointing, this is not what I'm teaching on, but in Luke 4:18, He got up and read Isaiah 60, and He began to quote the Scripture. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised." So when you go through all that, what Jesus was saying was, the Spirit's on me to help others. The anointing's on me to help others. The anointing's not on me just to make me feel good. And although that does make me feel good, sometimes we think of the anointing in a service, especially Pentecostal-type services, that we go to church so we can just have that power on us. And that's all well and good, and I'll shout just with the rest of you. I mean, I'm a shouter too. I love shout. Love to get excited and holler and dance and all those things. But it doesn't stop there. God did that, put that on us to help people. And that power on us is for others. The giftings on us is for others. It's all about others. It's all about somebody else. You say, doesn't He care about me? Yes, He does. He wants to make you the best you can be. And the way he does that is heal you and then make a healer out of you. Yeah. What way He does that is forgive you of your sins and then make a forgiver out of you. Does that make sense? See, He does care about us. No question He cares about us. He wants to make us the best we can be. And the best we can be is to help others. That completes and fulfills us. I am fulfilled in helping others. I am gifted to help others. Anything I have because of others. If I'm strong, I should be there for the weak. If I got a brain, I ought to be there for the people who don't have one. But see, you don't want to think you have this just for yourself. And that's when you get arrogant and selfish and self-centered, you know, and just accumulate stuff. I believe in prosperity. I believe God wants to bless us. I have no problem with that at all. I believe God wants to bless our socks off. I believe when we get to heaven, we'll find out we have lived way, way below what God wanted to do for us financially, monetarily, money. Good old American greenback dollars. I believe that. But I believe that's for a purpose. That makes sense. I think there's extreme on both camps. There's the one camp that says God doesn't want to bless you. How ridiculous is that, that God doesn't want to bless us financially? How are you going to help someone that's in financial need if you're not blessed financially? Right. But then there's the other camp. I believe God wants to bless us financially. All they do is just accumulate stuff. They never help anybody. They never put any money in the church or the missions or the gospel or whatever. And that's imbalanced too. So the balance is God wants to bless me to bless others. If the blind lead the blind, we'll both fall in the ditch. So some blind man's got to get healed. Isn't that right? You know what he's saying? Somebody's eyesight's got to come alive here so we can help those that don't have eyesight. So that's kind of the premise. And you know, I think about that a lot. I mean, I'm gifted in some areas. I know when God, I got so stirred up about the Word when I got saved. I was just so stirred up about the Word and seeing so much in the Scripture I'd never seen before, you know, and I was just digging in the Word. And looking back now, I see that God was preparing me for the ministry. He was doing that. He was preparing me to pastor. It was all about that all along. I didn't know it then. But he was blessing me so I could bless others. And I'd be wrong to hold on to all that information. I'd be wrong to just, you know, to as a communicator, which I am a communicator. I believe if someone's anointed to preach, he or she is a communicator. Because anybody here can stand up and just read Scripture. Oh, come on. And any of, if many of you out here know just as much as I know about Scripture. It's not a matter of knowing more or not. It's just there's a gift I have of communicating. Now, what good would that be in my closet by myself? That wouldn't be any good at all. That wasn't what God intended for me to do. Some people love to pray. But you know, you're not anointed just to pray for yourself. If you are easy about praying and you love to pray and you pray for others. If you're gifted even, you know, in a physical way, maybe you have a trade or profession. Boy, I'm getting down to it. Now, get down here to church and start working around here. That wasn't where I intended to go with this message. But although it's a pretty good point. I could stay there a little while longer. But whatever we have, we're never going to be fulfilled or complete and never be in the will of God, fulfill our purpose, until we include others in the equation. In other words, you've been saved to serve, really. You really have. Now, you don't lose your freedom that way. You find freedom that way. And you say, well, I just don't have the time. I don't know if I'd like it. Oh, you'll love it. Are you kidding? You will love it. You start blessing other people, you will love it. Absolutely love it. You'll wonder where you've been all your life. You start reaching out and helping people. Romans 15, found it? Notice what it says here in the first verse. We then who are strong ought to bear, well, the New King James says, the scruples. Who uses scruples anymore? You ever use that word? I wonder something. This is a New King James, too. They just didn't go far enough with this. How are your scruples doing today? When I say that, you're probably thinking of food or something. You know, what is that, am I cooking? What, scruples? What he's talking about, actually, the context of this is pretty simple. If you read the 14th chapter on into the 15th chapter, he's talking about living with a conscience of other people's conscience. In other words, living in a certain manner because you don't want to offend other people. We're free to do anything we want to, but our freedom should not offend other people. You know, there's always the issue of drinking and that comes up, you know, and is it wrong to drink or not drink? Of course, Jesus turned water into wine, the Bible, I understand that. But in our society, especially Willis Point, Texas, for me to drink probably would offend some people. Okay, is it wrong to drink? Of course not. Come on. But you know, if I pull out a bottle of wine out here, I'm sure you'd probably not receive anything else I said the rest of the service. But he's talking about conscience. And there's just some things that people, there's a lot of things I do for conscience sake. Not that it's wrong, but that people just don't understand it. And so I live not for myself, but for others. I mean, you talk about smoking. Oh, I'm getting to it now, aren't I? Y'all still with me now? Don't get mad. Don't get mad at me. You know, you're not going to go to hell for smoking. Come on. Smoking, goodness gracious. You can go to heaven smoking. You can get there quicker than a lot of people. Well, I mean. You know, I already said like this, you'll kind of smell like you've been to hell, but I mean, you know, hey. But come on. I love you. Now, if you're out there smoking, come on. I love you. But what I'm saying, there is the witness factor. Come on. Even foul language and things like that. You know, we're not talking about heaven or hell. We're not talking about being born again. We're not talking about am I saved or not saved. I believe in Jesus Christ. Of course I'm saved. But some things are a matter of witness. Some things are just a matter of conscience. You know what? And I'm not ministering on that, but I want to give you the context of this. Pretty good stuff to slip it in there, though. I can slip it in there. Okay. 15th chapter, listen to this again. First, that's the context. He leads into this. We then who are strong, he's talking about strong in our faith, ought to bear with the doubts and the weaknesses of the faith of others. Does that make sense? You know, by the same token, if I'm with, especially in foreign countries where they drink a lot. If I'm there, I'm not going to condemn anybody for doing that. I'm not going to do it, but I'm not going to condemn them either. I'm not going to turn around the other way and judge and condemn other people. I can't clean up everybody's life. I'm not responsible for cleaning your life up. I'm just responsible for little old me. Amen? And that's enough. Man, that's all I want. I don't want to have to clean everybody else. I'm having just a full-time job with me. Now, no, don't think I'm all that bad. I'm just telling you, I got a full-time job with me, watching my conscience, watching other people, seeing what... See, I've learned over the years some things people have trouble with and some they don't. And so I just kind of changed my life so I won't offend as... You know, even like cussing. You know, nobody's offended when you don't cuss. I've never had anybody come up to me and says, man, I'm just tired of you not cussing. Would you please say a cuss word? I've never had anybody do that. Never. Not one time. So, we then who are strong, the point he's making here is that we've been blessed with strength, maybe a strong conscience, maybe a strong gift or whatever the case is, but it's for others. Use it for others. We who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of others and not to please ourselves. Isn't that good? Man, I love that. You know, I should live for God and bless others. And not just live for God, just bless me. If I live for God and bless others, God will bless me. Let each of us please, second verse, his neighbor for his good, leading to building up or edification. Y'all see that? Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Now, he says please his neighbor for his good. He didn't say please his neighbor for evil or for bad. That doesn't mean make compromises to get along with your neighbor and get in sin. No, when you please your neighbor, you please him for good, for his building up. You love him, you pray for him. Doesn't mean you go over there and sin with them. Amen? Just to get along because I don't want to offend them. There's going to be offenses in the world. You can't live a life of no offense. That's impossible. Because as soon as you believe in Jesus and stand for Jesus, some people will be offended by that. I can't help that. But God forbid I would offend a weak Christian by what I allow or not allow. And God forbid I be gifted as a Christian and not use it to help other Christians and other lost people even. You know, I think that us, International Outreach Church as a church, we are blessed, no question. We're a prosperous church in comparison to other churches our size. We do a lot. You know, last year was really a fairly rough year economically in the world and in the churches in general. Our offerings were a little off, but we still gave over $100,000 to missions last year. Because we didn't back off on any of our fixed giving missions. We do a lot that's included in missions, extra offerings, and so on, but we have fixed giving missions, and not one missionary, not one person that we support on a regular basis last year got their check cut. We did not do that. That's like killing the goose that laid the golden egg. Are you kidding? That's what blesses us is our missions giving. So we still wound up giving over $100,000 last year. And we had some struggles there, you know, in the latter part of the year, but, you know, you didn't hear about it because we believe God. We trust God. We don't whine, moan, groan, and complain, take crisis offerings, and woe is me, and how we're going to make it, and y'all pray for me. I'm not going to be able to, you know, put shoes on next week, whatever. You know, we just trust God, and you know what? We went through it and did fine. Everything, you know, everything's out here. We're fine. We're out of debt, and I mean, we're paying off a little bit. There's one little bill we're paying off on some concrete stuff. It's just nothing. I mean, we're just paying it out. It's no problem. Minor, little. But we're out of debt. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We are here to bless this community. We're here to help this community. We've been blessed to be a blessing. That's what we're here for. And that's what you're here for. You have a purpose. I have a purpose, and it's to bless others, whether it's your relatives, your family, your friends, the people you work with. You ought to think about the position that you're in, the gifts that you have. You know, think about others, not just yourself. I love one thing about Christmas, we start thinking about giving to others. That's what I love about that time. Because we start helping others. And we'll start taking on people's projects. You know, maybe people that, women, you know, raising kids or widows or so on and so forth. And maybe the nursing home. And people start thinking about ways to help people. We ought to be thinking that way all year long. But thank God we do stop then and begin to think of others. That's what we're here for. So he goes on and says this. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. In other words, he took our reproach. He took our sin. He took our penalty. He did it for us. He didn't seek to please himself. For whatever things were written, fourth verse, before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I tell you what makes for a great church is that a church that welcomes people, that worships God, loves people. Amen. That's just glad to see anybody come in. I don't care where they are socially, social status, as it were. I don't care where they are economically, economic status, as it were, from the highest to the lowest. People ought to walk in a church and sense the love of God, from the worship, and from the people. Amen? Amen. I think that's what makes us a great church, in the sense that we love people. We're for people. I don't care where you came from. Just come. Amen? Just come. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. I'll tell you what, I've got no stones to throw. I look at my life and where I was before Jesus. My Lord, I am just blessed to be here, and I am blessed to be a blessing. And I love people. I mean, I love people with the love of the Lord. I have to work on some. But I can do it. Amen? I can love people. I'm supposed to love people. And the church is supposed to be that. But you're blessed to be a blessing. Let me read you this out of the Message translation. In fact, Amanda just read a scripture out of Isaiah, out of the Message translation. Romans 15, 1 through 7, listen to this. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Man, do you love that? I love that. So, my strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? Man, that's a good question. Sometimes we go through life and never ask that question. We're just trying to get through the day. Not even thinking about anybody else. We're just trying to survive. We're kind of in survival mode, you know. And yet we do have something to offer. We can help people. You can call somebody up and pray for them. Come on. You say, I don't have a phone. Well, you can get on your knees and pray for them. Hallelujah. So it says this, that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. Because isn't it convenient not to get involved, though, really? I mean, come on. I mean, how many times, I'll tell you, I mean, the phone rang or somebody, I have a situation or a problem, and it involves me. I have to get involved, and I'm thinking, man, I just want to turn a Western on and drink a Starbucks. Can I just go home and read a book or something, you know? My time. This is my time. No, listen, it's all God's time. And God's gifted me to help people. And you too. You know, somebody broke down, calls you up. Oh, man, I just sat down. Come on. Now, I know I'm the only one that thinks that, feels that. I know I'm just spilling my guts up here, and you're probably not even relating in any way at all to this, but... But at some point, we've got to realize we're here for others. And our lives are fulfilled in helping others. It really is. This, you know, if you commit to this, it's not going to be 24 hours a day. You're not going to be on the road helping people. But there's going to be occasions where you can, you will. You'll get to where you love doing it. Amen? You'll delight in doing it. So he says this. That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. And took on the trouble. He says, I took on the troubles of the troubled. Is the way the Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of His steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever He will do next. May our dependability, steady and warmly personal God, develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll all be a choir. Not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it, now you do it. I love that. You know, really, that's what we're here for. We're here to make a difference. This church is here to make a difference in the lives of others. And you're here to make a difference in the lives of others. You've been saved? You've been forgiven? You've been blessed? Well, go out and bless. Go out and forgive. Right. Lead people to the Lord. Shine your light. Amen. Share what you have. Henrietta Mears, who was she died in 63. She wrote a lot of Christian curriculum, Gospel Light Press. You probably remember that. In fact, Billy Graham said of her that besides his mother and his wife, no woman ever influenced him more for Jesus than this woman, Henrietta Mears. Bill Bright was heavily influenced. Campus Crusade for Christ. She said this, I thought it was really good. The person who keeps very busy helping the one who is below him won't have time to envy the person that's above him. You know, we live in envy of others. Oh, listen, just help everybody that has less than you do. Reach out to those that don't have the gifts that you have. You know, if I watch TV, this is one thing that gets me. If I ever see anybody that's mentally impaired on TV, I mean, like that movie Radio. Remember the movie Radio with, you know, true story? It just gets all over me. I can't watch it without just weeping. I can't watch children like that without weeping. You know why? Because I'm so blessed. God gave me a good mind. And I ought to help those that don't have a good mind. You know, I don't know if we often think about how blessed we are, but we're blessed for a purpose. Amen? And we ought to look for ways that God's... Maybe you're blessed with finances. Well, help financially. Maybe you're blessed with the ability to do something. Go help do things. Maybe you can pray, whatever the case may be. But you're blessed for a purpose. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We'll close this out. Short message. One of many we've heard today already. 2 Corinthians, boy, this is good. The first chapter, third verse, Paul speaking, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So that's why we need to testify. I believe in testimonies. I believe we ought to testify what God has done, because that will help someone else going through that same thing find out that God can bless them. God can get them out of that. We need to share. We all talk about the wondrous works of God. With our mouth, we need to make known His faithfulness to all generations, the psalmist said. And so, why is that? Because we've been helped, they can be helped. Because God's blessed us, He can bless them. If we came out of it, they can come out of it. God has blessed us so we can bless others. And He's comforted us so we can comfort others with the comfort that He's comforted us with. The fifth verse says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or comfort also abounds through Christ Jesus. There's nothing going on in your life bad that God doesn't counteract with good. He will give you the ability to come out of that mess and comfort you in that mess. Message translation on this one says, all praise to God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. Before you know it, He brings us alongside somebody else. Isn't that good? Who is going through the hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, sure, but no more so than the good times of His healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too. And we get it to help others with. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 10:8. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Think about it. You know, if you just sit on all that, it never was meant to be just sat upon. I'm saved. Well, that's good. I'm forgiven. Wonderful. Praise God, you're going to heaven. Now let's go do something with it. I know is people are having hard times out there, but God's just blessed me and just taking care of me. Well, He's taking care of you and blessed you so you can help some of those people. That's right. Amen. And right on down the list of all the things that you could name. John Maxwell said this. He said, when you light another's candle, you lose nothing of your own. You just produce more light. I like that. That's good, isn't it? We just spread the love around. We spread the blessing around. I am blessed to be a blessing. I'm forgiven to forgive. That's just the way it works. Jesus said this in Luke 12:48. If you write notes, I won't turn to all this for sake of time here. Luke 12:48 says, that to whom much is given, much is required. If you've been blessed a bunch, it's required a bunch of you. You know, I've been blessed. I'm obligated. I'm hooked. I'm obligated to help and bless because God's blessed me. Let me read you a couple of quotes. This is good. Boy, I tell you, people in our country need to hear this. John D. Rockefeller said this, "I believe that every right implies a responsibility, and every opportunity, an obligation. Every possession, a duty." We owe God something. We really do. We owe Him our lives. He has saved us. If you ever watch that movie, and I've said it before, Saving Private Ryan, it's a guy movie. It's a war movie. It's rough. It wouldn't be anything we'd show to the youth or children's church. Stay with me. But it's an accurate account of what went on during that time. And there's this older man. It's modern day, kneeling in the graveside. He was Private Ryan. And all the rest of the guys had gone in to save him by presidential writ. You know, he says, "You got to get this guy. You got to save him because all of his brothers have been killed. And so we got to get him out of battle." And they went in. They all lost their lives saving him. That's what the whole movie's about. It's a very, you know, very accurate war movie. Classic war movie. And at the end of the movie, the last thing that was, Tom Hanks was one of the guys that saved him, you know, and the last thing he said to him, "Make it count." Something along those lines. "Make this count. Make this worth something." And so he lived his whole life. Now after that, he's an old man leaning at a grave, and he looks back at his wife and kids. He's crying. He's just weeping. And he says, gets me when I think about it because I'm thinking about Jesus and what He meant to me. He looks back and he asks his wife, he says, "Have I been a good man?" Because he wanted his life to count for their lives that they gave for his. And it's just a moving part of the movie there. It's a tear jerker right there at that point. He says, "Have I been a good man?" That's the question we ought to ask ourselves. Have we helped anybody? Have we reached out? Have we prayed for anybody? Have we shared our faith with anybody? Have we done anything in the church? Have we reached out to our... I'm going to tell you something. Somebody died for our sins and saved us so we could serve. We're saved to serve. I have rights, yes, and with those come responsibility. I'm responsible to live for God. Amen? Good. Winston Churchill said this. He said, "It's not enough that we do our best. Sometimes we have to do what's required." I like that one. And then John Maxwell said this. I'll close out with this. Is this helping you?
Yes.
Good. We need to hear this. Amen. We need to be challenged. I know sometimes we're just shouting and hollering. Sometimes, you know, we're kind of convicted, and that's good. That's a good thing. We need to get convicted. Do something about it. Amen. This is going to be our best year in this church. Amen. I believe that. This is our best year. I can't wait to see what God's going to do, but He's going to do it through us. He's going to use us as we get our attitude, start looking out for others and living for others, not just ourselves. John Maxwell said this, another thing. He says, "You cannot contribute to something significant without being changed." Can't do it. If you want to be better than you are, become part of something bigger than you are. So really, when you think about it, man, why does God want me to do all this? Because He wants to make you better than you are. You can't help anybody without being better. You can't give to anybody or anything bigger than yourself without being changed yourself. And God doesn't want to just save you. He did that, sure. He doesn't want to just forgive you. He did that, sure. But He wants to make you now a light and fulfill you and complete you. People who don't help people are incomplete and unfulfilled. Miserable people. People who reach out to others are very fulfilled people. They got great attitudes. They've got purpose. They got reason. They're serving others. And we are saved to serve.